Now, let's go ahead and continue in Revelation 13. Now, let's see that as we covered in the morning about the two witnesses, now we're looking at the beast and the false prophet. Now, let's learn a little bit more here about the beast who is given authority over all nations. Come back here to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, this is a prophecy that Paul wrote concerning the return of Christ. And this was actually written about 52 AD, chapter 2. Now, it's evident when you study the history of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD that there was no abomination of desolation that went and stood in the holy place. Okay? So this is a future event. But notice how this ties right in with Revelation 13, verse 1, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Now, that's an interesting statement, because what they are going to say is that this Antichrist is the Christ. Christ is not going to come in human flesh. He's going to come as an all-conquering spirit being. Verse 3, do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now, the apostasy is a complete rejection of God in the whole world. That must come first. See, has the groundwork been laid for it? Yes, indeed. Remember the key word, incrementalism. Little by little by little, year by year by year, decade by decade, century by century. And when you get to the end of it, everything is upside down, and everything that is upside down looks to be real, and everything that is true has been rejected and counted as evil. A complete turning of everything. Now, here's what he does. Verse 4. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, no man has yet done that, or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God. That's why Revelation 11 shows there will be a temple built. And sits down as God, proclaiming himself to be God, that he is God. Okay? No one has done that yet. Some have tried it, very short-lived. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. So God has a set time for all of these prophecies to be fulfilled. Here's how you identify it. The mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. How did we see the beast come up? Rising up out of the middle of the sea. Now, this identifies that this is at the end time. Verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. That means at his return. And will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth. And the truth is the word of God, the commandments of God, Jesus Christ, God the Father. See, that's truth. What have they done to this? They've ridiculed it. They have besmirched it, they have rejected it, they have substituted it with lies. Now here's what happens to people. You've heard of spiritual blindness? Okay, here is the full dose of it when he comes on the scene. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie that this man is Christ. That will be the lie. That's why they will worship him. All right? Now back to Revelation 13. Now we're going to see that there is a religious element to this whole system, as there always has been. And this element is the Babylonian mysteries. Now this is why, right online, we have free download the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. And that's the very first book that I read when I was being called 52 years ago. The Two Babylons. That is an amazing book. If you have never read The Two Babylons and you're online, you go either to Church at Home or cbcg.org and you can download the whole book. Now, this system is talked about in Revelation 17 and its leader is talked about here in Revelation 13. So let's come back to Revelation 13 and verse 11. And I saw another beast rising up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. So it's worldwide authority. Now I want you to think of a religious figure today that has worldwide authority. Okay? Now, I'll explain a little bit about that, but that the source of that is the Vatican. So watch for there to be changes in Catholic worship to be more inclusive of other religions. Did you know that the Pope sends well wishes and greetings to the Hindus for their feast of Diwali? Did you know that the Vatican is a separate nation, the smallest in the world? Did you know that there are ambassadors from every nation on earth, even Iran? Hold your place right here. Let me read you one verse in Revelation 17. Just turn the page. Okay. Last verse, verse 18. And the woman whom you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. The only religious system that has that is the Vatican. Now, back to Revelation 13. Let's see what he does. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to think about how the world would go after the Pope, especially if he's including other religions. After all, it came from Babylon, and all the religions this side of Babylon came from Babylon, except the truth, okay? So it wouldn't be too hard to do. All right, verse 12. Revelation 13, verse 12. He exercises all the authority of the first beast before him and causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, maybe the Pope even laid hands on him and he rose from the dead. What a miracle that would be! This has got to be from God. Can you imagine all the television stations? Can you imagine the world news? I mean, this would be amazing. Notice what else he does. He performs great wonders so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Whoa! If you see it, you believe it. So seeing is believing. How can you deny that this is from God? Look at the wonderful things that are being done. I mean, you can almost write all of the headlines for it. Okay? Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword, was yet alive. Isn't that what they do? He comes back to life, and now we have to make a god out of him, correct? Yes. You can make an image, you can make a t-shirt, you can have everything. You can have hats, you can have banners, you can all of those things, see? Just imagine what would happen with that. All right, verse 15. Now he made a great image. This goes back to Daniel, the third chapter, the image that King Nebuchadnezzar made. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar was the head. Comes all the way down to the 10 toes. That's where we are in history today. But it's the same old Babylonian system all the way down. Okay? And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could speak. And he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. That's how the martyrdom of the saints will probably begin. Nice, sweet, loving government, huh? And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now God says, do not take that. When that happens, there are going to be difficult times for those who don't take it. Now why? Because they are perfecting all of these systems so that in a few years, they will be able, by microwaves from satellites, to control people's minds by inserting thoughts into their brain, either through the chip that is in the right hand, and they have an invisible tattoo that they can put on now that can do the same thing. And I believe the mark in the forehead will be the government workers. They'll be the privileged ones, of course. They can do a lot of control right now of the human mind. So if you're online, go online and look up what they're doing with the human mind. Look up Singularity University and transhumanism. See what they're doing there with that. Now, when that happens, as we were discussing here in between, this whole world financial system has got to collapse everywhere, all at once. And they've got to have all of the machinery in line so that they can introduce a world currency first. And that world currency will probably be a combination of paper money, maybe even some coins, and digital money. But you have to have the system set up first, and that's exactly what the G20 leading central banks of the world are doing. And they have been working at it. So you need to follow what is done at the Federal Reserve. You need to listen to Uncle Ben Bernanke and listen to his words. And there will be a sentence or two in what he says which will tell you what they're doing. Now let me give you a little history back on this. Remember in 2008, when the market collapsed, because there was a sell-off and it was affecting 401ks, and it was dropping precipitously that would have crashed the whole market. Now, never did they ask the question, who was doing the selling? Somebody had to do the selling. This was deliberate. This had to be the central banks finagling it through one of those that are in the hierarchy of the super elite rich. My hunch was it was George Soros. No, I do not know, but that's my hunch. So let me ring my cowbell with that one. Okay? That got Obama elected, and also what did President Bush announce immediately when that happened? Anybody remember? He announced the formation of the G20, central banks of the world, coming together to develop a system of regulations that applies to all central banks and banks in the world. Guess what they've been doing every year since that time? Improving it, improving it, improving it. And at one of the hearings that Uncle Ben Bernanke was talking of before House of Representatives or Senate, they were asking him about the bond problem and buying bonds and what's going to happen to fiscal cliff and what's happening in Europe and how that's affecting the dollar and how it's affecting all of these things. And he said, well, all of the central banks of the world are working to get their regulations unified. That's all he said. Now, if you don't have the background on all these other things that we talked about, that's not going to mean too much to the average person. It'll go whoosh, right over their head. But when I heard that, I said, uh-oh, another big step has just been announced. Remember, incrementalism, step by step, step by step, step by step, so that when it happens and the solution comes out, it will seem so good. And people will say, well, why didn't we think of that before? Then after they get the single currency and the digital working and all the banks working together, then it will come down to the mark of the beast. Now, let's come over here to Revelation 14, and let's read verse 9. Now, why would God have such tremendous penalties on those who receive the mark of the beast? Now, because it says he deceives them in receiving the mark of the beast. But what else are you going to do? It's either that or die. Right? Isn't it? That's what it will be. All right? So it's a tough choice. And people will come and say, oh, well, now, don't you care for your family? Don't you want your family to eat? You know, just think how selfish it is of you to not take this. This is just, you know, you just pass it under this little reader and you can buy anything you want. What's wrong with that? Well, it's because it is also a device to control your mind and turn you from God. That's what it is. All right, verse 9. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, so that comes first, and receives the mark in his forehead or in his hand, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone in the sight of the holy angels and of the Lamb. Now, the question we need to ask is, when is the wrath of the Lamb poured out? Okay? Now, this leaves open a question, and it doesn't tell us directly. The question would come up, could a person receive the mark of the beast and repent and get rid of it before the rejection of God? I do not know. I cannot tell you. And I would be remiss in saying that if that were a possibility, how many people would say, well, I'll take it and repent later? Okay? So we don't know. Here in this thing, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we need to know, but it tells us what we need to know in the major things. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends into the ages of eternity. Those who worship the beast and his image and all who receive the mark of his name have no rest day and night. Now, this tells me that their minds are controlled. Now, let's look at some other scriptures concerning this, because this doesn't tell us everything. We can conclude this concerning the wrath of God, number one, and number two, the torment will be because there is no repentance. So let's come over here to Revelation 15, and let's see what it says about the seven last plagues, and then we'll go to chapter 16 to see some other things concerning the mark of the beast. Revelation 15 and verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. Now this is God directly dealing. This is after the resurrection has taken place, because verse 2 says, I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the lyres of God, and the lyres of God are a stringed instrument. Okay? Verse 3, they were singing the song of Moses and the Lamb, greater your works, etc. All right. Verse 5, after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and the seven angels who had the seven last plagues came out of the temple, and they were clothed in linen, pure and bright, and girded about the chest with golden breastplate. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives into the ages of eternity. So here's how the end of the world is going to be. And the temple was filled with the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Chapter 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God onto the earth. The first angel went and poured out his vial onto the earth, and an evil and grievous sore fell upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon those who were worshiping his image. Okay? Is this in addition to no rest day and night? I think it is. So there's a reference to it there. Let's continue on. Third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Down here to verse 8, the fourth angel. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to it to scorch men with fire. Verse 10. Nope. Yes. Let's read verse 9. Then men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has authority over these plagues. Now notice verse 9. Here is the key. The ones who go into the lake of fire and are tormented with fire and brimstone are these. Verse 9. And did not repent to give him glory. So here through it all, God is offering repentance right down to the very last thing. See? Verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed with their tongues because of the pain, blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and sores, yet they did not repent of their works. So this again sounds like it follows right along there with Revelation 14 and being tormented. Now, the smoke goes up. What happens? What happens to smoke when it gets up in the atmosphere? Well, they didn't know this until just a few years ago. Whenever there is radiation accumulated in the atmosphere, it accumulates at a certain point, and the only way they saw this was they had a camera pointing in the direction in which they were able to observe it, but they didn't know that this was going to happen. The ionosphere opened like a door, and all of the radiation came out, and then it closed. Now, when anything goes out into space, just like these satellites we sent out there, you know, to go out and look at the different planets, they're still going. They had one that went for what? 7 years? 9 years? 10 years? And what did they have? Just a wee little bit of electronic communication was able to span those hundreds of millions of miles to communicate with it. That's how we got the pictures of Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus, and that's how we got the pictures of Europa, the moon around what is that, Jupiter? And that's covered with methane. Okay. Now, so the smoke of their torment, once something gets up into the atmosphere, out beyond the atmosphere, into outer space, and smoke are actual particles of material, and they go forever. Another example, between, what is it, Mars and Saturn, there is what they call the asteroid belt, and it's nothing but a huge, big, circling field, like one of the disks around Jupiter. It's a huge, big disk full of asteroids, that is, rocks, boulders, and different things out there. So God's got it all loaded and ready to go if at any time he wants to send them on the earth. They're there. You know, I tell you, when you read the book of Revelation, you need to make up your mind, I'm not going to argue with God. See? Oh, God loved me. Don't be mad at me. Okay? All right. Now notice verse 11. Yet they did not repent of their works. You're clear down to this fifth seal. God is holding out repentance to them. Then the sixth angel dried up the river Euphrates. The seventh angel poured out his vial. And then we have the battle of Armageddon. Now, let's come over here to Revelation 20 again. It talks about the mark of the beast. So when we go through this, it gives us a good amount of understanding, but it doesn't answer all our questions. So what we will have to do is wait until we are there, and then we can see what will happen, and that will answer our questions. Okay? Now, after Satan is put in the abyss, verses 1 through 3, now verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who did not worship the beast or his image and did not receive the mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay. Now, eventually, all human life, past, present, and future to the return of Christ and through the millennium and so forth, all in the hands of God. Now, prophecy is interesting. Prophecy is challenging. But the main thing comes down to this. How is our relationship with God? Do we love God? Do we serve God? Do we believe God? Do we obey God? Are we thankful for Christ, what he did? And all of those things then come down to our relationship with God. But this can give us some understanding. If we don't go through and read these things and try and figure them out, maybe there will be something we will miss. But there are some things that we don't know. So let's put it all in God's hands, thank him for it, and make sure that we are faithful and yielded to God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.